Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's very unusual Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Let me just start out by addressing what obviously everyone wants to talk about, and let me preface it by saying this. I'm not going to dwell on this. This is something that's private, I think. And while it's obviously a concern to all wrestling fans, and obviously any wrestling fan, any worker, anyone in or out of the business I know of, would be wishing Roman Reigns well. We're not going to dwell on this and invade something that will probably be an intensely personal time for Roman Reigns. So let's just say this. Roman Reigns revealed last night to everyone that for 11 years he had been battling leukemia, that his leukemia was in remission, and his leukemia had apparently returned. And for that reason, he would be taking an extended leave of absence from the WWE while he attempted to once again put this in remission. In doing so, obviously, he vacates the Universal Championship. Now, as this relates to Roman Reigns' personal dealings, I'm not going to comment any further than to just say we all wish him the very, very, very best, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with him. We may get into a little bit of how this affects the WWE, because it very strongly affects the WWE. It very strongly affects the WWE. Because whether you booed Roman Reigns out of the building or you cheered him, he was the face of the company. He was the face of Raw. Period. And he's not now. And may not be for an extended period of time. So the WWE is left with a problem. And it's a pretty big one. And last night, what we saw on Raw is the WWE hit the reset button as fast as they could and repeatedly, because they know they have a problem. Now, granted, when this was first brought up, some people said, you think this has anything at all to do with the timing is odd because, you know, they're going to the Saudi Arabia. I'm not going to be that cynical. The man's leukemia has returned. And my assumption is he wants to get this treated ASAP. He wants to start to put this in remission today. Not after a pay-per-view. Not after wrestling on Monday night. Not after dropping the belt this week. No. He just wants to go home and get this treatment underway. Now, this does leave WWE with some issues, because the only other thing they could do, obviously, is they put Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar together at Crown Jewel, eliminating the three-way and choosing just for a one-on-one match. And you and I and the world know that whatever the choice may be for the WWE Championship at that event, it's not a good one. We can all safely say that the WWE fans are sick of seeing an absentee champion in Brock Lesnar, who only shows up once every couple of months and is obviously more enamored with continuing his MMA career than bouncing back and forth between that and a WWE ring. And I also think we can all agree that Braun Strowman as champion is probably not a great option either. Why is he not a great option? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, they can't decide what they want to do with him. Is he a raging monster and a man of few words? Is he a comedy act? Is he a face? Is he a heel? Is he part of a faction? Is he a solo guy? They don't know. And you also have to understand that Braun Strowman matches as champion are not, they're not going to draw. You might get some interest in Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre, but not for the championship, I don't think. So the WWE has a problem. And this time it's not of their own making. So obviously Roman Reigns making that announcement was a bombshell. And it left the crowd stunned. It left me stunned. I'm sure it left you stunned. And I guess the first thing we think of when we hear that is how well sometimes the WWE does do in separating reality and fantasy, because when reality hits you in the face like that, it puts things in a different light. I was glad to see that the audience, for the great, great majority, reacted positively. And I think the only thing that can be said here is, obviously, we wish Roman Reigns well. And if there are updates, or he posts updates on his health situation or certain things, we will certainly bring them to you. If they choose to be private in his treatments of this, then we're going to respect that too. So with that said, I will give everybody a chance to say what they got to say, and then we'll launch into our Monday Night Raw review. Mike, certainly a bombshell.
Yeah, it was a bombshell, and I was one of the ones. I guess I texted you about it, and I brought up the fact, well, isn't it special that this happens right now? Now, I don't know when. I mean, I would assume that he brought this up. This is almost an ongoing thing. It's been an ongoing thing for 11 years, but it's steadily gotten worse within the last few months or so. So WWE, Vince McMahon, Vince Stephanie, Triple H might have known about it before us, and it might have been, you know, one of these things where saying, look, I've got to go get this thing taken care of, and I'm going to do this. It's going to put you guys in a bad way, but I've got to do this, you know. And we've seen that. It kind of does put them in a bad way. We'll get to that. But, yeah, I was one of the ones that was questioning the timing, but that was just a tertiary. That was just a thing that, you know, we've heard about people that don't want to go and this,
well,
that, and the other.
Well, to be honest with you, Mike, to be honest with you, when I first heard it, my first reaction was, wait. This does come at an odd time. But then I thought about it, and I said, no, you know, the problem is this. The WWE would have been prepared. The WWE would have, if he told them, a while ago, the WWE would have said, okay, well, then we got to get somebody in the championship picture immediately. The fact that they really don't, and they had to scramble and hit the reset button on so many things, means that the WWE, I think, was blindsided with this too. You know, these guys are tested on a regular basis. Their blood is tested on a regular basis. And I truly think that the WWE got blindsided with it, as evidenced by some of the moves they made last night. So, Todd, I mean, you know, yes, it is weird timing. Yes, it does obviously get him out of the crown jewel Saudi Arabia thing, but this is a real bombshell.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, leukemia and all these other sickness, like cancer and AIDS, is no joke. And like you said, we got to respect his wishes and everything like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like I said, if he makes something public, fine, then we can pass it on. Other than that, you know, we won't really be talking about it unless it's extraordinarily newsworthy in some way, shape, or form. He clearly said this is not a retirement speech, I'll be back. He clearly has put it in remission before. I have no reason to think he can't do it again, so we'll keep those positive thoughts. Now, we start out Monday Night Raw, but let's face it, everybody's on a down note at this point. You'd have to be psychotic not to feel a little bit depressed or down. And we start out with Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. And Bobby Lashley has just barely, unofficially, turned heel. Just by more his persona than actually battling anybody that's a face. I mean, he's the one who put Kevin Owens on the shelf. Kevin Owens was a heel at the time. And much to my surprise, I don't know whether the WWE figured, well, that'll pick the crowd up. We need something that'll pick the crowd up. And a victory by Finn Balor will pick the crowd up. Or they felt very strongly, we need Finn Balor at the top of this division right away. Finn Balor gets the victory. And to me, I'm dumbfounded by this. Because you've just barely began the new Bobby Lashley. You just hit the reset button on Bobby Lashley. You just made him an interesting character. You just made him a character that people are waiting for that one guy to defeat him because Leo Rush is so annoying and he's so powerful and it's going to be very tough for a good guy, a face to conquer this. And no, we didn't have to wait at all. His very first match against anybody reasonably good that's a face, he loses. Now, will he fight him again and destroy him? Yes, that's where they're going to go with this. Doesn't matter. The shine is off the diamond, as they say. You had a guy in Bobby Lashley who no one was interested in. You flipped him heel, gave him a really big spot where he put Kevin Owens out for an extended period of time, and he should have, by all intent and purposes, been on a run where he was targeting and winning against some of the fan favorites. Maybe not the top guys, but fan favorites, and Finn Balor fits that mold. A convincing victory over Finn Balor puts Bobby Lashley at the very, very top of your heel roster, and I think aggravates fans into really rooting against him, and you have someone who you can count on making a face out of by having a face oppose him. Anybody who opposes Bobby Lashley, they're going to root for. That's how you make a face. And instead, you chose to just instantaneously gratify the fans with a cheap little roll-up victory that means nothing but takes the shine off the diamond. I think this was a really, really horrible decision, Mike, and a huge mistake in booking.
Yeah, I think it was a huge mistake in booking. And the fact of the matter is you have something good going. I mean, we've said it before with Leo Rush. Had they had kept both Enzo and Cass, that would have been a money match with those two annoying guys on the mic at the same time. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, you have something going. And look, you know, with the whole reset button being hit, you could have not hit this reset button on Bobby Lashley and kept him on a roll throughout the rest of this month, throughout the rest of the half of the year, going into February and March, to where he's the next heir apparent to fight whomever has the championship, be it Strowman or whatever, you know, whoever it is.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I didn't think that they would compromise Bobby Lashley's a new persona that quickly, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like, you're right. You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's a different persona for Bobby Lashley. They should have done this when he first came back to the WWE as a heel. Wasn't working as a face. And now it's working.
Yeah, it was working pretty good. And that's why I don't know. I understand where they're going with it, and I'm almost positive that Bobby Lashley will win. You know, they'll give him another match and he'll win. But I just think it's destructive booking. You don't want a thing where he's 50-50. This is the very first guy. Throw out the Kevin Owens thing. This is the very first guy that Bobby Lashley, as a heel persona, took on. And when I saw that Finn Balor was going to fight Bobby Lashley, my first thought was that's actually a smart move. Finn Balor is popular enough so that if Bobby Lashley wins, traction from Leo Rush or something, he's going to get heat. And instead, they went for the cheap pop. I just think it's a huge mistake. We then had the Riot Squad come out. Ruby Riott is going to fight Sasha Banks. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this match. It is what it is. It's a warm-up for the Evolution pay-per-view. It's a match I don't care to see. I don't know if anybody wants to see. Ruby Riott wins after a distraction by the Riot Squad. This is the very epitome of we don't have anything to do with these girls, so we're just going to throw them in random matches. There's nothing there. There's nothing there to discuss. We then get Elias. And Elias is again interrupted by Apollo Crews. And I knew something was wrong. And I'll tell you why I knew something was wrong. Because Elias didn't get to insult the town. He didn't even get to do anything. He didn't sing a song. He did a little guitar playing, which always brings the applause. And out comes Apollo Crews, and they're going to fight right now. And I'm saying to myself, wow, well, one of two things is going to happen. Either Elias is losing and they're going to be pushing Apollo Crews, or this is going to be the shortest feud in history. Well, it turned out to be the latter. It was the shortest feud in history. And Apollo Crews loses. And after Kurt Angle gives his speech about why he may possibly win the World Cup, we get Elias back. And Elias says, felt so good after the victory, I'm going to come back and do the song. To which Baron Corbin comes out and basically tells him, look, we don't have time for a million Elias segments, and you need to get. And we've been calling for this for quite some time. And while I'm 100% for this Elias turn, I wish it had been against someone other than Baron Corbin. I mean, Baron Corbin is an authority figure, and there is things you can do with his storyline. And he is one of the more hated guys there. But there was no real setup to it. I mean, one week he's his friend, and the next week he's saying, if I had my way, you'd be fired, which is weird. Why would he be fired? Elias comes back, breaks the guitar over Baron Corbin's head to immense cheers, which we all said was going to happen. Now, if you don't think this is the panic button, they had this ace in the hole. The WWE has this ace in the hole, and they're saying, we got to wait for this moment to turn Elias. We got to wait for the prime moment to do this. Because we need a guy the crowd's really going to get behind, and we think it might be Elias. But we're going to have to wait, and maybe we'll build it up. And then when all of this news takes place, and a lot of things that's happening is going on, they said, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger, we need something big, and it needs to happen. So I think it was more out of desperation, and I think this was more last minute than planned. I don't think a month down the road they said, oh, Baron Corbin will eventually come out, and that'll be the guy Elias turns face off of. I doubt it. I think it's much more likely that they knew he was turning face, they weren't sure who it would be against, and this was a last minute decision based upon the need for a huge crowd pop and someone the crowd could possibly get behind. But to be fair, if we can judge by the reaction, it's successful. The crowd popped. And exactly what we said was going to take place took place, where he predated it by doing a song in which he basically said that Baron Corbin had Stephanie's hand up his ass like a puppet. And we said he'll do songs that are derogatory to the bad guys, and that's how he'll get his pop. And, I mean, for what it is, it worked, Mike. The crowd went wild.
For what it is, it worked. And I enjoyed it, and it's been what we've been calling for, what, 4 or 5 months now. 3-4 months
yep.
now. Now, one other thing about the whole Leo Rush thing, had the decision went the other way, and Leo Rush somehow annoyed Finn Balor enough to cost him that match, then you could have seen Finn Balor go to Baron Corbin and say, he caught that man right there, Leo Rush, cost me that match. I want him. And that would have been a match I would have been wanting to see, Leo Rush and Finn Balor, if that had happened.
Yeah, he could have had that. Absolutely correct. And that's where I thought it might be going, to be honest with you. That's where I thought it might be going. I would have been interested in that. And it would have kept Bobby Lashley strong. It would have kept the heat on Bobby Lashley. You would have got Leo Rush a match, a high-profile match. I just think it was a better option. Overall, I just think that's a better option. WWE, however, obviously did not think that's a better option, and they went with the option of Bobby Lashley loses, and we'll rehab him later with a big victory over Finn Balor. Mistake. Now, let's face it. The WWE being blindsided with a lot of this and the negative publicity they're getting from the Saudi Arabian show, they're really desperately trying to hit the reset button here. So a lot of things that happened in this show felt weird. We had Ember Moon, Tamina, Dana Brooke, and Nia Jax in the Fatal 4-Way. Ember Moon won. There was nothing special about this match. There was nothing special about any of this stuff that happened with the women. As a matter of fact, rather than to discuss this match, which was a nothing match, let's discuss Trish Stratus and Lita cutting their promo. This match just does not feel like a big match. It just doesn't. And then Alicia Fox comes out, and I swear to God, she must have been on stilts. She's like Andre the Giant compared to all the rest of the women. I mean, her heels were like a foot and a half. She got Gene Simmons from Kiss boots on or something. Literally, she's 6 foot. Kiki James without Alexa Bliss, who now the rumor is could have a concussion and may miss Evolution. And they attack Lita and Trish Stratus, who instantly regroup and attack them and leave them laying. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. This has all of the drama and the acting ability of like a junior high school play. And this is not what Evolution deserved. And if they think this is the big, you know, one of the big selling points, Mike, I think they're barking up the wrong tree.
Well, again, you know, it's almost as if because of Alexa Bliss's possible concussion, they're trying to hit a reset button. You know, now do we know for sure that Bliss does have a concussion?
No, we don't. No,
so,
it's rumored.
So I mean,
but she's gone somewhere. She's not around, and she's not doing house shows, and she's not even on Raw. And what she put it this way: could she have attacked those girls? Yeah, but she couldn't have taken the. Apparently, they don't think she could have taken the beating that they had to come back with, so they left her out. So that's not a good sign, Mike.
No. No, it isn't.
I don't, if she misses Evolution, which could happen, then, I mean, that's a big loss. Because this whole match was kind of predicated upon Alexa Bliss's mic work. Let's face it. It was Alexa Bliss who got this whole ball rolling. Mickey James was just like the sidekick. And Alicia Fox was barely in it. So this could have taken a dramatic turn for the worse, a dramatic turn. Paul Heyman, we should have mentioned, came out and cut a very good promo. Very good promo. He's doing the best he can. The fans don't want to see Brock Lesnar as champion again. But what can Paul do? So he's trying to sell this match as good as he can. Braun Strowman comes out. The old Braun Strowman would have killed Paul Heyman. the new Braun Strowman just says Brock Lesnar's going to get these hands, and then he eats a Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre, who earlier in the evening told Dolph Ziggler he was going monster hunting because he's not afraid of Braun Strowman. Now, clearly, they're trying to build these two up for a match. But I just don't see, my problem, I guess, is I don't see it being a title match. It seems too much too soon, which worries me, because then I think to myself, would the WWE think perhaps Roman Reigns will not be gone as long as many of us think it could be possible? We don't know the severity. Again, this is cancer you're dealing with, but we don't know how long his treatments are going to be. We don't know if it surfaced in a big way. We don't know if it surfaced in a very minor, very containable way. We don't know. We're not privy to any of this. So if the WWE feels this is something that is a concern, but Roman Reigns has put this into remission before, and the prognosis that they've gotten, because we're not privy to the prognosis. So the prognosis could very well be, look, while it's obviously serious and needs to be taken care of, we strongly feel, caught well in time and with proper treatment, we can put this into remission in a very short order. Let's hope that's the case. If it is, the WWE may be looking at a few months and saying, well, it wouldn't be bad to have Brock Lesnar as the champion for a few months because we don't need to get that many matches out of him before Roman is back. We won't need to, you know, because what are you going to do with Braun Strowman? Fill him with matches with who? Just Drew McIntyre. So they may very well think that. It really depends if this is a much more lengthy situation with Roman Reigns. And let's hope that's not the case. If they've said, look, this has come back in a way that's going to require a very long period of treatment, and he's obviously going to lose weight and he's going to lose muscle mass and things are going to happen that he's going to have to work his way back. You're talking a year or more, then all bets are off. But we don't know that. We can hope for the best, and the best could be that it's a very minor resurgence that they are nipping in the bud. The WWE may very well go with Brock Lesnar as the better of the two options. But either way, it's not a good option, because the WWE fans are sick of Brock Lesnar as champion, and the WWE knows they're not going to get quality matches out of Braun Strowman as a champion. And the WWE has a real problem now, and that problem is we don't have a face of the company. We don't have somebody that we can put on top that we really think will draw. And they're right. But that's what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket. See, that's the problem. So what will the WWE do? Well, again, they've hit the reset button on this show. And the Shield, backstage, make a promise that they are going to beat Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre for the tag team championships, and they're going to dedicate the match to Roman Reigns. Now, the minute they said that, I guaranteed they are absolutely winning the tag team titles. They are absolutely doing it. My theory was, of course, Braun Strowman will come down, take out Drew McIntyre, cause a distraction, and that's how the Shield will win, which is kind of what happened. But then, oddly, Dean Ambrose turns. Now, you can take this in two ways, and I've talked to people who of each mindset. There are some people saying this is really what an outrageous thing to do. Of all the times to turn him, you're going to turn him now. You know, it was really kind of classless, and it doesn't make much sense because this would be the one time he wouldn't want to turn. You know, this would be that one moment where they would have some unity. So it doesn't make sense. The other school of thought, which I'm more susceptible to myself, is that if you're ever going to do it, now's the time, because this time no one does expect it. This is the time where fans are saying, well, it won't be tonight, Lord knows. And it makes it impossible for you to root for Dean Ambrose. See, I think that the WWE correctly was factoring in there are going to be a certain amount of people, maybe half, that when Dean Ambrose turns, they're going to be for him. Even though Seth Rollins is popular, they're going to say, oh, well, because the WWE put their foot in their mouth with all this. The Shield never called Dean Ambrose when he was in the hospital and almost died. The Shield never kept, you know, in contact with him. And why they did that, I don't know, because it made the Shield look like bad guys. But they did it. And once they put their foot in their mouth like that, some people were like, well, I'd be mad too. Then Dean Ambrose has every right to be mad at them. Bad mistake. But since they made that mistake, they tried to correct it. And I think they were somewhat successful. Because there were a lot of angry-looking people in the audience who were correctly kind of – they were kind of being marks, but at the same time, I understand their – and I don't like to use that word, but I understand their feeling. This was a horrible time to do this, and what kind of guy does that, and – even in the storyline, that's going a little bit too far. Gotcha. But that's exactly sort of what you want. And I would bet you any amount of money that you want to bet that when Roman Reigns and his brothers in the Shield were embracing in the beginning of the show, Roman knew what was going to happen and was like, yeah, man, thumbs up. This is going to work well. That's the nature of the business. So if you're ever going to do it, I think this probably was the time. I understand why some fans think it's not. But I think you got the most out of it. We always talk on the show about squeezing the orange until the last piece of juice is gone. That's pretty much juice as you can get from that orange. They picked the absolute best time to do it to get the most from it, is my point. Now, with Elias turning, they did not do that. Got a huge pop. But they could have milked that better. They could have got even huger pop. But with the Ambrose thing, this is about as much juice as you're going to get from it. Because it makes Ambrose look extremely heelish. And his motivations are what? We don't even know at this point. And I think we should also say that both guys did a good job. Because Ambrose didn't just turn heel, beat the hell out of Seth Rollins, and, you know, laugh in his face and walk backstage. Ambrose looked torn as well. Ambrose looked like, I wish I didn't do that, but I already did. Do I apologize and call it even? No, I'm going to go the whole nine yards. I'm going to double down, and then he really attacks him. Seth Rollins looked shocked and more hurt, but more emotionally hurt even than physically hurt, and I just think they did a really good job. And if you really want my opinion, this is their tribute to Roman Reigns. This is the thing that they got together and said, we're going to do this and we're going to make this great. We're going to make this the closing moment of Raw, and we're going to make it special for Roman Reigns, because to anybody, it means something to the fans. It doesn't really mean much to the wrestlers one way or the other. But a great performance, that does. I think they gave a great performance. So I think in some ways, Mike, it was a good time for this Ambrose turn.
It was a good time for it. And still, you still got a few fans here and there that were patting Ambrose on the back and as he was going up the stairs, you know, saying, way to go, Dean. But in general, I would say 85-90% of the fans were just as you say, they weren't so much more. But they were buying into it, you know. And think about this: after teasing it and teasing it and teasing it, you know, like you said, get as much out of the orange as you can. Well, they've been teasing this for this Dean Ambrose team turn for how long? I mean, basically since he came back looking the way he's been looking the
right
way he looks, you know.
Right.
You know, his new look, his 40 pounds or whatever. however much you gain in weight and muscle and stuff, that's not the being. That's not the happy-go-lucky, crazy, you know, sitting and pop or eat popcorn in a crowd, Dean Ambrose. That's not that guy, and this is not that guy anymore.
Now, what I'm hoping they do with this is I'm hoping they play this as close to real as possible. And by that, I mean you can't have Dean Ambrose just simply come out and say, I never wanted to be a part of the Shield. I never wanted, we were never brothers really, and blah, 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 because that is throwing everything under the bus. I know you want people to boo Dean Ambrose and you want them to cheer Seth Rollins. But I think you would get more juice out of the orange if you had Dean Ambrose say, I don't necessarily have a problem with Roman Reigns or my time in the Shield. I have a problem with Seth Rollins because I never really got over what he did to us. And no matter how much he can smile and say that was the past and I'm forgiven, I never forgave him. I never truly forgave him. And while you can say somebody's your brother and mean it, that does not mean you like them. That does not mean you won't fight them. That does not mean, you know, you don't wish them ill will. And I definitely do not wish Seth Rollins anything good. I think that would make Dean Ambrose's motivations twisted to where fans would say, I get what he's saying, but just enough to make it feel real. And I think you're going to have to do it this way, because if Dean Ambrose is suddenly a heel and he's doing heelish things to everybody, people are going to say, what? Where'd this all come from? If he just sticks with the I hate Seth Rollins for X, Y, and Z, still fight faces and still be the same Dean Ambrose, where if you want to root for him, you're rooting for him. If you don't want to root for him, you're not going to root for him. But you could then have Seth Rollins come back and be the guy who says, look, I don't know what more I can do. I have apologized 100 million times. I have saved Dean Ambrose countless times from beatdowns. I have been in his corner when he needed me. I've given him his space when he didn't want me around. I don't know what more I can do. I've done everything I can. If he's going to forgive me, he's going to. If he's not going to, he's not going to. But I even gave him that beatdown, okay? I even gave him the fact that he beat me down and still said, okay, maybe it's out of his system. But it's obviously not out of his system, and I'm not going to let him beat me down again. Then you have something. You have something that feels real, and you probably got a really good program between these two guys. Now, Maniac in the chat room is saying they need to play how they weren't there for him in his time of need, but now everyone's there for Roman. Actually, I don't know. Because you might be asking for trouble there, and I'll tell you why. God forbid, but let's say the Roman Reigns thing gets serious. You're going to regret anything you said or putting him in the angle. It would be better, I think, if Ambrose simply says, I don't have a problem with Roman. Roman never deserted me. He never turned his back on me. When you were running around part of the authority and doing what you did, Roman was still here. I don't have a problem with Roman Reigns. I have a problem with you. That would probably feel more real. Because I think if he says, none of you guys ever called me, I had a problem with all of you, you're all a bunch of hypocrites, you come out here and smile and pretend you care about people, but you don't, that makes Ambrose look like the good guy. And it makes the Shield look like bad guys. It makes poor Roman Reigns, who's out taking care of his leukemia, look like a bad guy. And it makes Seth Rollins look like a bad guy. And I don't think that's a smart idea. I think the good idea is to just let fans decide for themselves. And have Seth Rollins admit, yeah, I did some horrible things, but I apologize for them all. I made up for them. We were tag team champions before you left. Then Dean Ambrose could bring up, yeah, and you quickly replaced me, didn't you, and blah, blah, blah. And he can make a strong argument that Seth Rollins is an opportunist, at least in his eyes. And some fans will say, yeah, you know, he has a point. And other fans will say, ah, what did they expect them to do? You know, go sit in a corner and wait for Dean to get better. So you'd have something that felt real if you did it that way. If he starts branching out and saying, I also have a problem with Roman. I also have a problem with Kurt Angle's son, even though he's not around anymore. I have a problem with the fact that he went on without me. Then it's getting into fantasy where people say, yeah, I don't believe any of that. I want this feud to be believable. And what would be believable for me, after watching him embrace Roman Reigns, put his head on his shoulder, for him to say, I got a major problem with Roman Reigns, it's not going to fly. He's got to come out and basically say, I don't have a problem with Roman Reigns. He didn't betray us. You betrayed the both of us. He didn't throw me under the bus. I wasn't his tag team partner. It was your tag team partner. And it makes sense then. And it seems more real. And I think that's the important thing. This has got to feel real to be pulled off successfully, Mike.
It really does. And look, especially after what Renee Young said earlier, you know, she broke character and said, me and my husband spent a lot of time at Roman's, and we're close to him, and we know him, and all that stuff. And that's not something she should be saying, but she did, you know. So that's her breaking character, probably against what was being said in her ear. Maybe, I'm not sure about that, but. Yeah, after she said what she said and him hugging Roman Reigns and putting his head on his shoulder, yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, this, again, the reset button was hit. And you had to get, first thing you had to do is you had to get the titles away from,
Ziggler,
you know, those, the
McIntyre.
Other two, Ziggler and McIntyre. And then you had to actually do something to get the titles away from Dean and Seth there. So that was a good idea. Now, how do they think? I guess there's going to be a tournament, or we don't know yet on who's going to be the world tag team champions. Because
that's what I'm guessing, and I'm guessing probably the Authors of Pain will win that. But here, let's address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. What the fans won't say, because it will be considered politically incorrect, or what the WWE probably won't play into it because it would be politically incorrect, but what they're hoping you will insinuate from this is not what Roman Reigns would have wanted in this time. He wouldn't want two people he thinks of as his brothers to be in a blood feud and hating each other while he's attempting to go through this. That's kind of the message they were trying to send. That's why fans were outraged, because that's what they would think. If I had two best friends who I needed to be there for me in my time of need and support me, and the moment that I got this bad news, they started a blood feud with each other where they both hate each other and are at each other's throats. That's the exact thing I don't need on my mind while I'm trying to recover. That's the story they're trying to tell. And I'm sure they're trying to tell it with Roman Reigns' blessing. And if his prognosis is very, very good, then they might even play into it a little bit more. I mean, Roman Reigns may have a hand in saying this is a horrible situation. This is not what I want. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out. But I do think, Todd, that's sort of the message they're trying to send, is that this would be something that would be a negative in Roman Reigns' life to see his two closest friends fighting each other.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's going to be a probably a great feud there between Rollins and Ambrose there, and saying you deserted me and all that other stuff. It's going to be one of those feuds you're going to see.
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to see it. But my point, I guess, Mike, is they're going to try to play this without saying it. They're going to try to get the fans to infer This is the last thing Roman Reigns needs. See where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. This is the last thing, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they have Renee Young flat out say it, you know.
If everything is good, they don't want something to backfire. And again, I'm not wishing, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, and I'm confident everything will be fine. But you never want to take the chance of having anyone say anything ill-willed about him and then something, God forbid, does happen, because then it just looks awful, Mike.
It really does, and that's the thing. And I just want to touch base on one other thing you said. The face of Raw, like you said, Raw has no face. Really, right now, the face of the company is AJ Styles. That's it. You can't argue with that.
Right.
You know.
I agree with that.
And you know, and until either Seth or Dean or maybe Ziggler or somebody keep going, get going really good to where you can say that. You can say that. I mean, remember, what was it, a couple years back, we said, you know, Seth Rollins carried the company on his shoulders. That was, what, 2 years ago or so, maybe?
A few years ago, yes,
something
he
like
did.
That.
As a heel, he was able to do it. I don't know if he's able to do it as a face. I don't know. He hasn't proven that to me yet. He can be. The thing about Seth Rollins is he can put on a 5-star match. I'm not yet convinced he can be that guy, the super face, who everyone is rooting for in any circumstance. Because you're right. Let's see what happens with Dean Ambrose. Certain people are going to root for Dean Ambrose, and we'll see. We'll see if Seth Rollins' popularity as a face will transcend that. Because the reason AJ Styles is the face of the company is because when you put someone up against AJ Styles, even Daniel Bryan, a good majority of people still root for AJ Styles. Meaning that if you put any heel up against them, even popular heels like Joe, most of the fans are on Styles' side. Styles has the ability to do that as a face. I'm not sure Seth Rollins does. Seth Rollins has the ability to have fans say, yeah, he's put on a great match, but I don't know if he's that rootable. I don't know if he's that face that everyone says, oh, I'm not rooting against him no matter who he fights. I'm not sure. We'll see. Having said that, listen, it's almost impossible to grade Raw because real life snuck up and bit it in the ass. And a horrible situation for anybody to go through, let alone a guy who's a family man, an athlete. And again, I'm very confident without having, you know, obviously seen any medical records. I'm very confident that if Roman Reigns felt confident enough to go out there and let the fans in on everything, that Roman Reigns is also very confident he'll be back. So that's the good news. Now let's talk a little bit before we will grade at least the portion of Raw that was the scripted portion. Let's talk a little bit about two things that have come up that I have 100% verified, but I've come damn close to verifying. And that is that John Cena and Daniel Bryan have both said they're out of the Saudi Arabian Crown Jewel event. John Cena has a lot to lose. Because part of John Cena's popularity, both as a wrestler and a movie actor, is this all-American, fresh-faced, patriotic guy. And if he goes there and has to give another one of these golly gee, what a wonderful country this is speech, he's done. That gimmick is done. The very reason you wouldn't see The Rock going down there. Daniel Bryan, on the other hand, I think it's just 100% strictly his view that we shouldn't go. And he's one of these guys who will put his moral ahead of his monetary situation. And quite frankly, I don't think he cares if the WWE fires him. A, he doesn't think they will, and I agree with him. B, he thinks if they do, he's back where he started, which is saying if I don't sign with the WWE or whatever, I'll just go somewhere else. No big deal. I can write my own ticket, which, again, I agree with him. And but this is the very reason the WWE will do nothing. John Cena and Daniel Bryan have that power. I don't know how many other people have that power. Certainly The Undertaker does. Certainly Kane must. Certainly Shawn Michaels would. I mean, Shawn Michaels may just say, well, regardless, look, Shawn Michaels is going to get a hefty payday. That's why he's going. But his closest friend is Triple H, too. So if Triple H is in dire need of him, he might say, well, you know, I'm not deserting my friend here. He's I'll go down, you know, with the ship with him. But aside from that, I don't know who has the power to say no. Lesnar, maybe. Braun Strowman doesn't. None of the women do. The Miz doesn't. A lot of these guys don't. So we'll see what ends up happening. The last word on that, of course, is that today the Turkish government did, in fact, come out with a report saying that some of the body parts of this journalist was found. And we have to be honest. It's just not passing the laugh test. We have to be honest and tell it like it is. And if you think that 18 people took a jet out of Saudi Arabia without the knowledge of the Saudi Arabian government to go to their consulate to interrogate a man on their own without the consent or direct orders from that government, murdered him, hid the body, knowing, of course, this would cause a international uproar when he's gone, missing, then you're smoking crack. Or you know nothing about foreign policy, nothing. This was a blatantly ordered murder. And everyone, including our president, knows that. But what the government can do with a very crucial ally in our war, not a war, but our attempt to stabilize the Middle East, is very different than what a professional wrestling organization should do, who is being paid to spew their, or be their cheerleader and spew their line about being a progressive country. And many of the wrestlers know it. Now, once again, yesterday we did the story on JBL saying any of the wrestlers who don't want to go would certainly be free not to go and there would be no consequences to that action. Well, you know what I said then, and I repeat it. There'll be no consequences for John Cena. What would the consequences be? They need him. He doesn't need them. There'll probably be no consequences for Daniel Bryan. What would it be? But if you think for a minute that all of the people that were going, and I know I mentioned the girls, they can't go anyway, but even if they could, none of the girls would have that power. None of the girls would have the power to veto going someplace, is what I meant. They're not going anyway. It doesn't matter. They get no say. But if you think anybody else really has any of that power other than maybe, like I said, Lesnar and the legends, they absolutely do not. And as of last night, I'm very confident that the WWE is going. However, I will tell you this. If more body parts are found, can you believe we're talking about this on a professional wrestling show, a man's body parts that are being found? If more body parts are found that indicate that this man underwent torture, such as his hand is found with no fingers, like the Turkish government said happened, they claim to have audio tape of him being interrogated and his fingers being cut off one at a time. They claim to have that audio tape. If they release that tape, the Saudi Arabian government is still going to say, we didn't know. We didn't authorize that. They did that on their own. They turned rogue. And our government's going to have to swallow that. But we are not going to put up with the WWE going. Just not going to happen. But what saddens me is this. You had the perfect opportunity to back out. Because when this horrible tragedy happened in Roman Reigns' life, you could have very easily said, given the severity of this, and the fact that our champion has just had to advocate his belt, we got to cancel this whole event. We're just canceling the whole event. We'll regroup, we'll restructure, we'll do some of these matches at other pay-per-views, but, you know, come on. Perfect opportunity. And instead, he just said, oh, no, we're still doing, we're forging ahead. We're just taking him out of the equation. So, Mike, I do think they're going, and that's a shame.
That's a shame. And look, you may not like Erdogan and his people and stuff, but if their police, if their law enforcement is doing their job and they've actually found these body parts, you know, buried somewhere, wherever they're buried in Turkey, they found the body parts that they did, the police or whatever they call them did their job and they found them. And they've got the proof that this is actually this guy. They got the DNA proof that it's this guy's body parts, you know. Then how can you argue with that? There's your proof. You got that, and you got that.
The Saudi Arabian government is saying, oh, yeah, we don't deny it. He was murdered. What they're saying is he was murdered without our consent. He was murdered without our knowledge. A group of people went rogue on us. They went there to interrogate him without our knowledge. They ended up killing him. We have punished all them for it. We have either fired them or thrown them in jail. This was done completely without the knowledge of the Saudi Arabian government. So don't punish us for it. We'll punish the people responsible. That's what they're saying. I'm saying it doesn't pass the laugh test because there's no way a jet leaves there with 18 Saudi nationals, some of them who are very, very close to the prince without the prince knowing. Nobody takes it upon themselves, knowing what the consequences in Saudi Arabia would be, to murder a man without someone checking that box and saying, yes, go ahead and do that. And they fly back to the country and they say to the prince, hey, guess what we did for you? While you weren't looking, I took 17 of my buddies. Remember that guy that was giving you a hassle? Yeah, we killed him. And the prince says, what the hell did you do? You've ruined our relations with the United States, you idiot. They never would have done that. Not in 100 million years. Anyway, a very quick review of this week's Raw. Some good things happened. Some obviously terrible things happened. I'm only going to give a grade to the unscripted, to the scripted things, and you know, leave the unscripted out of it. I'm going to give it a B-, Mike.
I'm going to give it about the same thing. And I'm going to wait to see how the tournament, you know, the tag team tournament turns out. And we could be staring down the barrel of a Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins feud for the Intercontinental belt.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's coming our way. Todd, your rating this week?
I got to go with you. I got to go with a B-.
Okay, so listen, it was not a bad Raw. Elias turning face, great move. Dean Ambrose turning heel, probably a good time. Bobby Lashley losing his first match as a heel shake my head. I don't know. I don't know where that's going. That was an awful move. Some of the women's things didn't turn out too good, but overall, to bring the crowd back from that beginning was amazing, really. So B-, we'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.